Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. Ray, you're the perfect guy to talk to. What a segue. Bruce Boudreaux is the biggest Maple Leaf fan on earth. Do you think he's got to basically just never mention that, Vancouver? How would it go over in Vancouver?
Yeah, that wouldn't go real well.
No.
You know, yearly out there, we have, everybody kicks their feet up when the Hockey Night in Canada game's on at 4 o'clock on Saturday.
Right.
Like it only takes that to throw everybody up into a frenzy, right? So if the head coach said, hey, how'd the Leafs do? Well, they'd lose their mind. Guys, my favorite sports book, if people have never heard of it, it's called Ball 4. It was a diary of the 1970 Seattle Pilots. This one-year expansion team that was so bad, they moved them to Milwaukee. Like, they sucked. So in the book, the guy that wrote it, Jim Boughton, he talks about the manager. His name was Joe Schultz. And I think he'd go around and say, you know, they'd lose like 8-2, and he'd be like, whatever his old team was. Yeah, the Cardinals won 5-3. It was the guy still thinks he's managing the Cardinals.
Yeah, I'm worried about that.
I love it, man.
I'm worried about Bruce because he loves the Leafs and he loves talking about them. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. And I would guess, you know, he would have been watching the game last night. And I thought the Leafs
He loves hockey.
He loves hockey. He does. So he's so happy to be back. Sure. Yeah, and he is one of the purest hockey guys. We love him. We've had him on the show many times. And I'm curious if you would have had the same reaction as Sheldon Keefe did after the game. We had this discussion earlier, Ray, and you called the game. You were in the building. Sheldon was not overly happy with his team. Can you reason with that? Do you understand where he was going with his post-game comments?
Yeah, because they scored on that first power play, and then they got another one, and the guys gave up two breakaways and a nearly a third, and they came back to the bench, and he was hot. Like, he was like, wake up. Because it was one of those games, like, you could just smell it, couldn't you? Like, Tuesday night, December, it's Columbus. Thursday is Tampa. Spezza, they're waiting to see what's going to happen with him. They know he's going to be suspended. Marner's hurt. It was a game, like, I don't want to say you sleepwalk through it in a lot of cases. Like, it was messy. It was sloppy. Like, and it was never in danger. No matter what the score was, it never felt like, oh boy, they better buckle down here. Like, it got, when they scored to make it 3-1, and then they scored two goals in 7 seconds. And it's a yuck fest on, you know, I mean, the game's over. You're just trying to get to the end of it. So I was not surprised to see him say that.
Yeah, and I thought they, again, had a good start, good first period. It did by the end. You know, they were chasing empty nets.
Yeah, they're lucky there was only 30, like 0.5 when that Domi goal went in, because any more time it could have went sideways.
Yeah, if that's 25 seconds left or something, then who knows. But Matthews had two last night. Wayne Simmons put it on a tee for him. He almost had a third. And he's at 17 now on the season. Is he officially back in the rocket race for you? Was he always in it, even though the numbers weren't there, just based on his stature and who he is and what he can bring to the table?
Well, is he in it? Yeah. I mean, this sounds stupid. He's behind. He's the favorite right now.
That's probably the better way to phrase it. Is he the favorite? Forget being in it. Is he the favorite?
Could it look any easier to score for him? Whatever he needs to do, it's like he can just pull into his bag of tricks and it's sitting there. What would make us think that he's going to slow down? Like, at the beginning of the year, he was shooting at like 3%. And you're like, well, that's not going to happen. Now I think he's up to 11, and which is getting kind of close to where he normally is. And like, honestly, when he got one last night, I'm like, well, man, it's so early. He'll probably get another one somewhere. Or another good chance, and then he's got another goal, and I don't know, if the game was different, maybe he gets a third.
I thought he was getting a hat trick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Noodles, I'm sure you watched those games both when your team's getting, you know, is outclassed, but also maybe in this case where you know you're going to win, you're standing back there and you're watching the guys kind of slowly fall asleep in front of you.
Right.
And you're like, oh, yeah, there's another breakaway. Oh, oops, there's a turnover. Like, and so maybe if they were sharper, they would have got more last night. But they, I mean, I don't know. It's hard to explain. It's just like they knew what they – you could tell. They knew exactly how far they had to go last night, and they didn't go any farther.
Right. What did you make of the six games for Spezza?
I thought that was heavy, to be honest with you. I mean, the factors that went into it, I get them all. I just thought it was heavy because it was him. And for all the plays that I think are suspendable that aren't, I was, first of all, I was surprised he had the in-person hearing. Like, that really surprised me.
Mm-hmm.
I thought three or four games was probably where they were going to go on it. Like, obviously, guys, like, he came a long way to deliver whatever hit he was going to deliver. And he wasn't going to miss. And, you know, so they take in the retaliation, the predatory, screaming from the bench at him, screaming at the refs. Like, you know, the game got out of hand. But I don't know. I just thought it was a little heavy. And I'm usually on the side of suspend more, not less. But I also think, like, you know, I think that for punitive stuff, so like, so they won't do it again. Spets is not doing that again. And if you suspended him for four, he's still not doing it again.
Right. I agree. Like, we were talking about it last hour, Ray. Like, it doesn't matter if it was Spets on Pionk or whoever. Like, I kept thinking in my mind, like, three would be a number, maybe four, like six, you know, I thought it was rich. And I'm not even thinking, well, you know, against the Leafs, all of that, because the guys were talking, there is conspiracy theories out there saying that, you know, the Leafs are on a big stage, don't want to seem like you favor the team or whatever. I agree. Like, I don't think Spezza has that in his repertoire. That being said, you got to look at, you know, how it went down. And, you know, I would have been fine. I think a lot of people were expecting three or four, and I think they would have been fine with it. Six is rich, but it maybe the league is, if you're going to be rich on all of them, or rich on that one, be rich on all of them. You know what I mean? Yeah. Be consistent.
Feels like the Brendan Lemieux bite is what gets brought up a lot. Like, it's like, five games for biting a guy twice.
Right.
Like, totally
but
different.
But you know what? Maybe the message here, guys, is the retribution or retaliation stuff. Right. Like, when it was so clear what was going on, then maybe the message, unfortunately for Spezza, is through him, but to the rest of the league, is like, the retaliation stuff can't happen. And we you know, us three guys played in an era when you knew when it was coming. It was just a matter of time. Yeah. And that's largely gone from the game. So, you know, here's an example to make, I guess.
Well, with that in mind, it's a good segue into Trevor Zegras and Sonny Milano last night. Because I feel if someone tried that in 1987, there would have been a reaction.
He would be headless.
Yeah, honestly, the goal. Imagine that was Hextall. He would have just turned around and said, all right, there goes
your hat. Scott Stevens, and Danico. Try that one out there.
Yeah.
Well, and you know what? Honestly, I don't know how you guys feel about this. I thought the move was amazing. I think it's great for the game, all of that stuff. The laughing on the bench and carrying on, like, that I think would press a button too. Like for me, I'm watching, like, they're enjoying it. I think it's great. But if you continued to watch them on the bench, it was
Noodles, they
like
don't care.
Over the top.
That's how they are. It's just,
I know,
like...
but that's what I'm saying. Move this back 15 to 20 years, and I know the game has changed and that, but it's, like, the carrying on about it was, I think, just as over top of the move. And I think the move was brilliant.
It was
like,
a great move.
So cool.
It was a great move.
Well, I thought it was unbelievable. Awesome. Can't believe these young guys, not just Trevor Zegras, but all of these young guys have it in their toolbox to do this stuff. Like, could you imagine, oh, me or you going down the wing and putting the puck through our feet and trying to shoot? We would have tripped ourselves. We would have ended up in the penalty box for tripping ourselves. And it's like, who does, like, but they do it so easily. So apparently, when they get set up behind the net, Milano's in front and he yells, Michigan. So Zegras, they do this in practice. He scoops it up and flips it over the net. The stuff on the bench, like, I think it was so unbelievable they couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
But I do think, like, there's a fun component coming to the game that we just never had. It was just, and I think I said this before, too, like, when Batista threw his bat, I'm like, that's garbage. You should never do that. You know, you throw your bat down, you run around the bases. And then the more I thought about it, I'm like, damn, that was awesome. Like, the moment was big. Celebrate it. Have fun with it. Like, who cares? Throw your bat. Ricky Henderson used to take 2 minutes to run around the bases after he hit a home run. Like, it's just, yeah. Have some fun. I think people like it. Now, the Leaf fans were pissed at Logan Stanley the other day for doing the Johnny Bravo victory thing. But the Winnipeg fans thought it was great. So, like, you can be angry if you're in Toronto and happy if you're in Winnipeg. The Buffalo people probably weren't too thrilled that they were, you know, they're on the back end of that play. That's the way it goes. I think it's fun. I liked it more. I liked the play so much because I just know that's something that is remarkable to do and something I could have never done.
It's so unique.
It is.
Every kid that comes up now is trying that move, is trying the Michigan goal, can probably pull it off. Now, this is a different... This is a remix of the Michigan goal. Cause,
yeah, it's their version of it. Like, it's yeah. That. But the only thing I'd say, too, Ray, to follow up on that, I don't know how you guys feel. The game is different. So you can it allows you to be creative like that. You know, like Zegras...
Oh, for sure.
Like, Zegras, if he was playing 15 years ago, wouldn't think to do that because maybe there's the time and space is different, or like you say, the retribution might be different. You're like, I'm not trying that. Like, I the only thing I can think of is I played with Pavel Dimitra, and he was one of the most talented players I've ever played with the puck, and he used to dink around in practice and do stuff like this, but he never did it in the game because there's all these things that guys do in practice that they'd never do in a game. Because back then it was a different era. Now these kids have the skill and they're doing it in a game, which it affords them and it gives them the platform to do. And the game has changed where they don't feel like that's a threatening play.
It's a good point, though. How much of this did we miss out on from
right.
guys back in the day where they just the stop sign was up because it was just an unwritten rule. You can't do it. Like, don't even try
it. You just wouldn't. Yeah, it's funny to say that, but you just wouldn't have done it.
Right.
Right.
Like slap shot. You know the defenseman that jumps on top of the net and high sticks the guy at the back of the... Like he's on top of the net and he swings his stick at the guy's head behind yeah. the net. That's what it would have been like.
Do you know what, play guys? Do you remember the goal that Burray scored? He gets a breakaway. He's in Florida. He's going like 100 miles an hour and he drops it into his feet, kicks it up to his stick and scored.
Oh yeah!
Do you remember that?
Yep.
Yes, I do. I remember watching that and going, "I can't believe he did that." Like that's like a practice move. But of course, it was in 1993. Like nobody did that, or whatever year it was. And I'm like, now if somebody did that, you wouldn't even bat an eye. You'd go, "Oh man, what an amazing goal!"
Right.
Yep. Different world.
I think it's good. They can do it. They can do it, and it's not a gimmick. Like, they're doing it because they think it's a more creative play, a different way to move the puck around. I mean, I guess he could have taken a step to his left and passed it, but hell, it ended up in the net, flipped over top. It was, I don't know how many times you could do that. The Michigan's different, I guess, because you're just trying to zing it in the net. I'm still waiting for somebody to get thumped coming around the side there, but maybe it won't happen. Maybe they know when the time's right, they feel the space, and they only do it when they can do it.
Well, and don't you think all these creative moves, the only one that I can think of that may have changed, maybe you guys tell me different, but that may have changed the landscape that had these real, like there were real arguments about it. It was Hurdle on Marty Biron. The between the legs.
Wasn't that the last goal? Wasn't that the last goal
yeah.
Marty gave up?
It is,
put him in a retirement.
But I'm not trying to focus on Marty, but I remember having legit arguments about that goal. And how, it, you know, because I think it was like the eighth goal of the night, or like it was like an 8-2 game or 8-4 or something. And he does that on a breakaway. And there were a lot of traditional old school people, I think, including myself, going, that's a tough one because the game is, he was a young kid. The game is so out of reach. And I was sitting beside Bobby Mack that night on the panel, and he was like, These young kids are doing this stuff now, and they that's going to be the norm. And I remember him saying that. I think it was because his son was coaching in junior and understood like where it was headed. And it was just, there was a real argument between old school and new school thinking as to, it's almost like that hurdle move kind of opened the door for,
right.
You know,
like
maybe
that was,
I'm wrong.
That was the icebreaker. No, I think you're right. I mean, that was a monumental moment. Remember, Joe Thornton came to his defense, and there were all these different discussions about the aftermath. I mean, that was a story that lasted for a week and a half.
I know.
After Crazy. He pulled off that move. And,
now again, you would... I mean, who cares if it's in the net? Yeah. It's in the net.
Right.
Like, I just think they're capable of things that we've never seen before, and each time we see something a little new, it jars you, and then you look and you go, damn, I can't believe he can do that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's incredible, and it's just thoroughly entertaining. Like, ultimately, if you're a fan, why would you not want it? You know, like, if you're a player on the opposing team, that's a different story. And you can put yourself in those skates, I guess. But as a fan, you know, even if you're a Buffalo fan, you bought a ticket, you're in the building, you're like, I got to see that last night. Like, my team didn't bring anything to the table. The Ducks won 2-0. At least you got that. It was a great goal, right? So, yeah, it's different.
And by the way, that kid's personality, that needs to be showcased. Like,
yes.
I mean, like, he is... That's just, we had him on our podcast. Like, that's the way he is. Like, he just, the way he talks, he's so young and he's so, like, excitable and he's having so much fun. I mean, he's the guy that bet Ryan O'Reilly $100 on a face-off. And you know, like, he walked in and he bet O'Reilly, I guess O'Reilly's like, what? And he's, hey, bet him $100. I guess he did it with Draisaitl, too.
Right.
Like, the kid's having a blast. This is the way it is. The button-down, old, boring stuff, I'm kind of happy it's changing a little bit. Wouldn't it be kind of nice to see these guys' personality a little more?
Absolutely. Well, that's it. Like, if the levee's broken on the ice, it's got to break off the ice as well. These unwritten rules and respecting your... It's not about disrespecting your opponent. I think that's a part of the problem. Is it has been defined as, you're too happy, so you're showing me up, as opposed to... I understand why you're happy because that was awesome and he just scored. And it doesn't have anything to do with me. Like, it wasn't some premeditated attack. I'm jumping over the boards, I'm going to score a great goal, and then I'm going to make these guys feel like idiots. Like, that's never been the thought process, but it was allowed to drive the narrative and in many ways drive the, I guess, policing of the game because of the opposing team's feelings being hurt. You know, or this perception that you're hurting the feelings. And it carried over off the ice,
too. I guess there's the other thing. Just play better.
Well, that's what every other sport says.
Right.
That's what every other
right,
sport
like,
says. Yeah.
I like it. I never thought I would. I got to be honest with you, but I'm enjoying this stuff. I think it's amazing if these kids can pull this off.
I'm with you. What are you expecting tomorrow night before we get you out of here? Leafs-Tampa, big game for both teams, both deal with injuries. But
I think it'll look a lot different. Yeah, I think it looks a lot different than Tuesday, that's for sure. I mean, Tampa seems to be able to win when they don't play very well. And, of course, a lot of that has to do with they don't have the top end of their lineup available. But, you know, they get two goals late last night and win in Montreal. Their goalie and like Vasilevsky and Campbell have just, I was doing some work this morning and man, their numbers are just out of this world, both of them. I think it's like it's a 3-2 game tomorrow. Like I think it's close. I'm looking forward to it because it'll be good. Those are two really good teams.
Yeah, they'll get up for that one for sure. It's going to be a fun environment down at Scotiabank. You can watch the game on TSN4 tomorrow. We're looking forward to it. Have a great call, buddy. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
By the way, I'm going to leave on this. O's wrestling costume has got to be the singlet that King Kong Bundy wore.
Yes.
Thanks.
Body types are perfect. It's just a mirror image.
Could you not picture the black singlet like over the one shoulder and O comes stomping in? Like, that's what it's got to be.
Yes. The big boots, the knee pads.
Didn't King Kong Bundy have like a green tongue? Like one of these wrestlers had like a green tongue. Maybe it was George the Animal Steel.
I don't remember, but possibly.
All I know is when Bundy would pitch the guy into the corner and they'd go, "Oh no, here it comes, the avalanche," and he'd just run right into the guy 400 pounds.
That's the O-Dog's new move. Yeah. He's taking ownership of that.
Yeah.
Thank you, buddy.
Later on, boys. See ya. Yeah.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lean history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com.